You are listening to Cohen Meander. My name is Ethan Demro, also known as Fasson Ben David Hakohen. And you know, you get a little bit tired of complaining. I'm not God's gift to a thing. My virtues are limited, and I just kind of just do what I do and things like that. Anyway, there was something called the men's movement, something kind of analogous to feminism. And I have to be honest, I don't know how many other men feel the way I do, but I think they're a bunch of whiners. You know, oh, life is so hard for us. It's like, shut up and get to work, you. You can occasionally bellyache to your wife if you want to help you to keep on going. And hopefully she doesn't just push you away in disgust and say, you're a despicable man. I don't want to be married to you anymore. And I think she'd be justified. She needs the kind of man that just buckles down and does what's needed and doesn't really worry about anything. I remember when I was a much younger man, and we were poor. You know, we were starting our family. I don't know if we've gotten all the way to having six kids, but I don't recall us having six kids until, to a certain extent, I had kind of pushed through a lot of my poverty issues. But anyway, you know, we were young, had a couple of kids. We ultimately have six, and I'm not unhappy with that. In fact, I am very happy. A number of my children are tricky, to say the least, and I'm grateful that we had children enough that at least we have some kids who we look at, we go, yay, wow, good job. You know, we weren't an absolute waste as parents. We're performing our obligations to God and to our fellow man by presenting to you good, diligent, moral children. Adults. That's the whole point. You're not here to produce children. You're here to produce adults. Kind of like God's overarching purpose. And you go, well, he's trying to, you know, he's trying to bring more children to the world. I says, you know what? Not really. It says childhood is a phase. It's definitely a phase you're supposed to work through and get past. Some people forget that, I think, in our societies. Anyway, God wants us to become like him, wants us to rise in stature to become like he is. And all the excuses that you make why you shouldn't, how dare you try to be like God? Oh, you're so horrible. Or is it blasphemy? Something. I forget the terms because I think those terms are stupid. They're mostly there to talk you into not rising to your potential, which is to become like God. Anyway, so the same thing applies to us here on earth. We're supposed to be raising adults, people who are supposed to take over from us and maybe even do it better than we did. I hope so. Gracious, I'm not sure I did very well. I've got all kinds of crap to work through, but you know what? work through it. Anyway, I was young. And we qualified, because of poverty, for a lot of government assistance. We took some of it, you know, like medical care. We had all of our kids on Medicaid, which is the government poverty program for, you know, going to doctors and hospital stays, whatever comes up. Things that come up with childhood, the way childhood's supposed to be. But we also qualified for a lot of other things. I seem to recall once we actually took food stamps. That was interesting. But there was a lot of extra crap you had to go through to get them. And at the end of the day, it was like, I don't want to put, at least I had to do the bulk of it, my wonderful wife. She had to put up with those extra strictures because I was out trying to, those were the times I was trying to start businesses and stuff like that. And ultimately I just said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to go and I'm just going to work. And it's just simpler for me. I'm a very simple-minded person. I'm a simpleton. I know people say, well, that's a horrible thing to say about somebody. You go, you know what? If you're handicapped, say you're handicapped. If we spend too much time trying to make people feel good about their restrictions in life, I've got some too. And one of mine is I'm a simpleton. That means I can't work very well in overly complex environments. So what do? I work for the military, which is a really complex society. Anyway, but you got to break it down to pieces so that you can work it. So that's what I have to do. That's just the way I am. So. I realized at some point in there, I said, you know, if everybody who qualified for government assistance actually took it, or if we had like, now back then there was not, I don't remember there being much talk, or at least it wasn't public, about the universal basic income. If everybody participated in something like that, these things wouldn't last for a couple of hours before the government was completely bankrupted. Everything would just fall apart. Society would die. And I said, you know what, those who predominantly work under these conditions, not asking for handouts, working hard to make it work, to make all this stuff happen. And I said, you know what, it's men. I have a great respect for men that just buckle down and do what they have to do. I'm very heartened by the fact that as we strive to be personally righteous, that we're blessed. I am fantastically blessed. I now make a lot of money for my time. Now, you can go for the whole thing about inflation and stuff like that. That's fine. But I feel like I make an awful lot of money given what I do. And I feel like that it's a blessing from the Lord. I don't know if my level of righteousness merits it. I don't think I want to analyze this too hard. But are everything that works, see, this is why I think Europe is getting to the point of not working very well. It's because their men have been so feminized. I deserve this and I deserve that. And, you know, things like that. And I'll be honest, I'm a guy that started out doing women's work. I was a preschool teacher, for Pete's sakes. Trained up to run daycare centers, which is about five steps off of what a man really needs to be doing. And as time went on, as we got more kids, it became obvious that I couldn't do that kind of work anymore. The pay just wasn't adequate for that kind of thing. It was something that if my wife chose to go to work, which she only did a few times, she could have been a part of to keep herself busy if she felt so inclined. But that all was possible, layered on top of, hopefully, a man who was working and doing and progressing and growing and doing larger and more expansive things that needed to be done. And how much this world, this society, would absolutely collapse without men that just went out, did what needed to be done, the trades of mucking sewers, gaining and utilizing skills, all this stuff, and a lot more. Working basically to make enough money to support their family. So it circles back around to that. I guess they call it the manosphere, which is, I'm sorry, I don't have much respect for that, you know. There's called men, it's called men walking away, or MGTOW. And you go, I'm sorry, this is, you're not doing what men are supposed to do. Supposed to find a wife, get married. It's really nice if she's actually kind of grateful for what you do. But you go out and you do that. You go and you get married. You have children. You meet your responsibilities to everybody. To those who sacrifice to bring you into this world. That's probably the biggest thing that people, I don't think about. Is how much, you know, you will read stories about your grandparents, your great-grandparents, even your own parents. And about the lives that they led, often far harder than the one you're living now. And how they sacrificed. And how hard they had to work just to have, conceive, and raise you. And how ultimately disgusting the whole concept of you saying, well, I'm not going to have children. Then you try to virtue signal about it. Well, this is such a horrible world. Why would I want to bring children into this horrible world? And you go, you slacker. Oh, my gosh, what a pathetic excuse for not doing your job. The entire world is depopulating. We haven't quite reached peak people because not every single country in every single continent has decided to adopt this selfish, self-serving drivel of not having children, not getting married, sacrificing yourself for your wife and for your children so that they can have what they need. Freeing your wife up so that she can raise and take care of the children. Now, as they get older, they need more of a fatherly influence, which is mostly, come on, let's go out. Let's go out and get some work done. There's some things that need to be done. Come on, let's do it. You know, there's almost nothing else to be said for. It says, and you do it, you know, is it relatively thankless? Yes, and I think is then we need to get together. And, you know, the biggest thing we basically need is a pat on the back, kind of a gruff, you're doing a good job. Just a bit, not a ton. Just enough to keep you going. Stuff like that. You want to be able to look back after a life spent working diligently, making sure that everybody has what they need. Look back and see your children and your grandchildren. You might live long enough to see some of your great-grandchildren. Isn't that wonderful? And to say, look at what my labors, look at what I committed to do. Look at what the sacrifices I have made have wrought, and you look at your kids, and you hope that at least some of them you look at them and you go, they are amazing, you know. The old thing where you would go out and you'd work like a slave in some labor job so that your kid could get a better education, so that they could do better and higher things. Now I guess I'm kind of regressive in that I'm saying, you know, it says you guys need to just don't go to college until you figure out what you want to do. Because let me tell you, college is of an expense now that it shouldn't be something approached frivolously. I ended up getting a degree in home economics. And it's a degree for women. I got it. The only other two guys in the whole program with me, one of them was gay. The other one proved to be transgendered. Decided to be transgendered. I was the only person that you know, was married with children. But yeah, can I be honest? I said, I probably, you know, well, I think I finally got to the point to where the education I got worked in my favor. I worked for universities many times, And at a university, if you've got a university degree, they'll pay you more. And so I took advantage of that. You know, and it was usually just, we don't care what bachelor's degree you have, thank goodness. You've got a bachelor's degree. You qualify for such a level of money. We are a university. We honor those who have university degrees. So I was able to capitalize on what I've always joked about was an MRS degree. I was already married. I didn't have to find a girl. Anyway, so that doesn't mean there's, ended up getting a master's degree in management, which I used a little bit, enough to show that I really didn't want to manage people. I was much happier being a skilled laborer in the trenches, which I am today. Although now I guess I am at some kind of a consultant level. And so I get paid a lot more. And when anybody says, well, what does he bring to the table? I've got several things I can lay out to say, you know, that I'm an accomplished person. What I'm the master's degree in IT management. Anyway. But it makes it so now, you know, when I'm competing against a lot of other people, I will tend to be the first or second or third pick because they go, ooh, he's got a little bit more than these other guys do. And that was what that was really about for my master's, which I got much later in my life, my late 40s, early 50s. Anyway. I was listening. I guess what spurred this particular thing on for me, I've watched a lot of MGTOW things. And it isn't that there is some sort of weird kind of compensatory logic to it. But it's silly. It's like it's a good way to look at it. Our modern society lets more and more people be perceived and play like they are the wealthy trendsetters of the past. You know, the old playboys who were the inheritors of big money, big business, stuff like that. There are so many men now, women too. Everybody kind of does that. Everybody acts like, even if they don't have much money, they certainly dress and carry themselves and act like they have all this stuff, and I think they kind of demand some sort of strange respect for being able to do this, dressing well, being well groomed, going out and doing the kind of recreation and activities that were usually restricted to the rich back in the day. If you want kind of a view on that, I know it's getting rather dated, but it's probably the most up to date. Example of this, like in the movies. watch the film Titanic. You don't have to watch the second part where everybody's dying and where things are falling apart and stuff like that. You can watch that first part where you see obvious classes. You know, you are a first class ticket holder. And what that all entails, and then all the people in steerage, quote steerage, and the kind of people they seem to be. And you might get that sense for what it is. You can think it's very old-fashioned, but having romances and getting married and wanting to be married or stuff like that is just old-fashioned, but it's not. It is the actual, I don't want to call it trappings. It is actually what people need to do to become like God. You go, well, God's not married. Yes, he is. That's okay. It says it takes a long way to go there. Christianity has so wandered into weird realms and found I don't want to be particularly rude, but a misplaced celibacy, you know. The most lionized people are those who have sacrificed, I guess, sexuality, which God gave us for a reason, and really cheered the kind of living that can only be done if you don't have deep responsibilities of family and marriage. Marriage first, family later. And I'm not saying I'm all that studied about it. I went to, you know, the field of home economics has become deeply feminist on a lot of levels. And I just kind of fell into ultimately pursuits that I don't want to call them real men, but responsible men do. And like I said, it had very little to do with my education. I was able to turn my master's degree into decent paying jobs because I tend to work for universities, and that did well for me for a time until the money just wasn't as good as it needed to be. And I knew that there was better money out there. So now I do much better. But it's a life of a lot of obligations. A lot of things that you have to do. If I were to, well, I don't know if I really want to say any of that. I look forward to seeing my children having accomplished things in their lives, having taken upon themselves the age-old responsibilities and labors, most importantly, marriage and family. It's getting tricky. A lot of people are socialized that marriage just is a crock and it isn't worth it. What's in it for me? And it's like, what? Don't, excuse me. Authentic human adults don't often appeal when things are really important to what's in it for me. How utterly pathetic. Men who play at being playboys, going out and having lots of liaisons. Fornication is the actual term for it. The sad part is women who used to be usually the great vessels of virtue, you know. I am very grateful for my wife who has very high standards of behavior and things like that. She keeps me on a higher plane, and she worked to keep our kids on a higher plane, although I think she struggles with some of our children. And I do too, but mine's mostly, I'm very disappointed with, and that's a very feminine word. I'm not very happy at all. I'm somewhat upset that many of my children, I mean, I don't think I was all that great, but by the age of 21, I was in my 21st year, I think, or 22nd year. I was married. I was working, going to school too. We were having children. We were doing what's to be done. And my children, who have taken much longer to get there, although I can't say much, you know, and I don't want to always harp on the ones that are doing badly. I'm really happy with some of my children who are doing very, very well. But it's very depressing to see my children, you know, through the best part of their 20s and into their 30s, not embracing the kind, the behavior, the attitudes that make men into men and make women into women. It very much saddens me. And I get a little upset sometimes because it's like, did your mother and I teach you to be this way? And to a large extent, I have to blame myself. Although I kind of fell into doing things right, I don't know if I was a good promulgator of it. Except now that I'm far older. But I think I started getting like this when my children were still young. Anyway, when I watch videos about women who prostitute themselves and make six figures when they're 19 or 20, and they're very much enjoying it, and men who, it's different kinds of men, honestly, but men who go out and simply pursue thrill seeking and stuff like that, and if they do choose to get married, their preferred female partner, and they usually want kind of an open marriage so that either side can go off and have sexual exploits outside of their marriage. These guys who are the thrill seekers often just marry somebody who's also a thrill seeker and wants to be doing that kind of thrill seeking. I met my wife while we were climbing Mount Kilimanjaro you know, and I said, boy, she is the one for me. And these are what they call, I guess they now call dinks, dual income, no kids people. And they're just going to go off and have adventures together. And they get to mix their adventures with what could be considered safe, though non-productive, sex, I guess. And I think that's what you see a lot when you see, ooh, there's couples on YouTube, right? And it's like, ooh, they've got the life I would like to have. And you're going, guys, it's, you know, and you can't say it's fake, but you gotta say it's not leading anywhere. They're having a really good time. They're having a good time together, and they go out and they have adventures together. Although some of them are men, but can I be honest? When I look at YouTube, which is supposed to be predominantly viewed by men, it's a whole lot of women who have decided to get themselves a van or a tough-looking truck, and they always have a dog. I don't want to get into the sickness of bestiality, but that dog ends up being a husband replacement. You know, they are far more loyal to their dog than they ever are to a guy. You know, sometimes they will talk about a guy that they have spent some time with. But by and large, he's not now in the picture. You know, when she's taking her videos, she's showing you all the interesting places that she takes her truck and dog with her. And that is a sad, it isn't a replacement. It's a sad substitute for a real life, for women and for men. I understand the ones where men are older and they said, hey, you know, I worked for such and such many years and I had a good retirement and then my wife died. And, you know, I pack up this trailer and I go off and I see some sights and I do stuff like that. You know, perfectly adequate way to handle your life after your husband and fatherly responsibilities are largely finished. But yet you're still here for some strange reason. I was listening to this guy, and I think he's one of these types, although he's starting to give kind of the whole idea of being a little bit of a MGTOW bachelor type of guy, which is sad, you know. It's like, if you were expecting to be a monk, why aren't you in a monastery? You know, go and get married. And you go, and there's nothing elevated about being a monk. Sorry. There's just nothing there. Regardless, so, there's nothing wrong with, what I was going to talk about was life expectancy, which I think is hilarious. You know, people say, women live, you know, such and such 5 years, or 10 years longer than men do. And you go, you know what? Those are silly statistics. It usually has very little to do with your individual lifespan. It's like, well, I'm going to live to be, you know, 75, and then I'm going to die because guys just don't last as long as women do. But my wife will continue to live 10 years longer. If that's happened in your world, that's interesting. Usually, It's because men, you know, men on average don't live as long because they tend to do things and exert themselves, usually physically, in ways that are dangerous and are more likely to get them injured or killed. You know, we're talking about mortality, so it's killed. More than women. Women don't engage in this stuff. I would have to say more women die in car accidents, and guys tend to die of bad habits. Just wearing out their bodies, getting crushed under something, often die working. Of course, it depends on what kind of labors you do. As, you know, men's life expectancy has gone way up because a lot more men are now in white-collar professions rather than, strictly speaking, blue-collar professions where people can get hurt, where people, you know, where these things happen, where you die from overexertion, by being killed by one of your draft animals, by exposure to a lot of things that women aren't going to particularly be exposed to because they're mostly taking care of children, taking care of the home life, things like that. So our women most likely will die in cars, just driving on errands and going to visit people and stuff like that. Women will tend to die much older. Older people, the vast majority of them are women, and it doesn't really run along that whole thing of, well, you know, men's life expectancy is 75, and you go, no, that number actually indicates that a whole lot of men die younger than that. But the growing white collar, I'm a white collar worker, although I don't present that way too hard. A white collar worker lasts a lot longer because he's just not exposed to things that can get him killed so readily. Not that we're not doing a bad job of exposing more and more women to some pretty bizarre chemicals that could also be killing them. So I think that's why, on some extent, even though people won't realize it, our life expectancy is going down. I think most of it has to do with our more recent exposure to a lot of weird substances that we really shouldn't be messing with. Blame your local chemist for introducing more chemicals to your life that cause more problems than they help, probably. Anyway. And these these whole female empowerment groups, that going out and basically being the female version of a hustler, a playboy on that level, or hanging out with a bunch of playboys. I always find it interesting when they ask a lot of these women who have already started going down this road exactly what they would like to have in a man, and they still want to have a certain kind of man. You know, in his 20s, he has to make six figures. He has to make more than she does, which is funny because she's being a prostitute making that much money online. Online prostitution is well, that is an amazing business. So you've got, which comes of two different things, but I'm not going to say what they are. It's not important. But you'll ask them what they're looking for in a man. He's got to be at least 6'2" or 6'1", at the very least. He's got to be, you know, a gym maniac. He has to have a body that a gymnast would die for. So he's got to spend a lot of time working out, being really, you know, oh, I'm going to go out and do all this stuff, and, you know, Matrix sports and all that good fun stuff. Anyway, he's got to make six figures, but then he's got to treat her like a queen. And anytime she wants something, he has to drop whatever he was doing, which is really funny because she is really talking about some guy who's really self-absorbed about making money and having a great body, which really kind of goes with kind of a quasi-gay narcissism about trying to be attractive to others. And it's hilarious because she's saying, well, once I have such a man, and you go, not taking into account what it would take to, you know, what men have to do to create themselves in the image she would like, which means that that he doesn't have any time for you. He's probably got a business that he's working very hard on and that takes up the bulk of his time, and any time when he's, you know, and frankly, he's going to have kind of the weightlifting exercise equipment in his office so he can mix all this stuff together. And even though he might end up having a nice apartment somewhere, he's not there very often, you know. He might use it for private little soirees, bringing home a little, you know, some woman, so that he's not doing it at the office, for Pete's sake. You don't do that. Anyway, and you're going, and these are the kind of guys that these women kind of want. And you're going, but you do realize that he doesn't want you as a wife, particularly. He doesn't mind having you, especially if you're really dolled up and you really work hard to make yourself toned and look good, to be good arm candy for him. It says he doesn't tend to marry arm candy. I don't know what he's, you know, and what he's looking for. For a wife is, number one, somebody who's not demanding of him at all. You know. And is going to have a kid. Those guys do want kids. They want progeny. And you go, but to be honest, they really don't have any time to spend with him except at holidays and stuff like that. So you expect to have a nanny, you know. You have a wife that lives on a budget, you know, outside of what's needed. One that is an excellent hostess for the kind of events that successful men need to run. You have to get that kind of a woman, and that is certainly not what OnlyFans basically a prostitute really, you know, he'll do that so that he looks good at the red carpet events. This is his escort. and she's this amazing thing. Of course, it helps if she's a popular movie star or something. That just gives him more cachet. And you know, I understand. You go, wait a minute. It says there only used to be a few dozen of these sorts of people, really. And you would follow them. It was kind of like talking and following royalty. Ooh, wow. But that wasn't anything for you. But we find now that there are now hundreds of thousands of wannabes. Can I be really honest? I've got kind of a 1 in 4 rule about many things. I think 1 in 4 women could easily be a model. I think 1 in 4 women could easily have a singing career. When they go, oh, Taylor Swift is a 1 in 1 million, you go, no, she's about 1 out of 4. It said she put in the effort and the stuff to become what she is. And I'm not saying it's because she's an amazing musician or stuff like that. One in every four girls is a songbird. It's just a question of marketing and how much you're willing to do to have that kind of a life. One in four women have artistic and musical talent beyond just singing, although singing is probably the easiest one to come up with. Guys, it may be 1 in 4, maybe more 1 in 5, but these aren't, you know, back in the old days, you couldn't have a, quote, music career. It just didn't exist because it was widely known that in every single town there was going to be at least, you know, a dozen, maybe two dozen, even in a very modest-sized town. People who sing as well as your favorite pop star can do an instrument as well as the absolute best concert performers in the world. Every town could muster this. It used to be every town had a brass band. Every town could muster up a reasonably, a pretty reasonably good community choir. You know, with some orchestra pieces, a couple of violins, you know, a harp. You know, other kinds of instruments. And this was before music became a school thing, which ruined it. Absolutely ruined this stuff. Because after they did it for school, they weren't interested in doing it anymore. It was something that's like, oh, graduate from that crap. Thank you. You know, what a wonderful way to make sure that there would be no more community choruses or community bands or stuff like that to participate in these kinds of things. You know, often it's probably because we gave the little songbirds really starry eyes. That's what all these people are. Well, I got really good at the trumpet, so you know what? I didn't stick around and do it in my town just for whatever, you know, band opportunities there were in town. You know, I'm going to do this as a profession. I'm going to do this for money. And, of course, there's very little money for stuff like that. And getting less and less so. And, you know, and that's one of the great things that's kind of destroyed our culture is this is kind of this diva-ish, both among men and women, that they can go out and do these amazing things and make amazing amounts of money, just like royalty used to do, just like movie stars used to do. Says, and these things were just kind of facade. They weren't real. They looked that way. It was kind of an artificial economy, and then it fell apart. Regardless of that, we've got too many people that think that way. Oh, I'm this and I'm that, and I'll be able to go out and do this and that if I want to. And the sides of any given road are littered with the detritus of people who thought that they deserved so much more, that they were so endowed with such amazing talents. And you go, no, not any more than normal. You know, like I said, I think 1 in 4 people can do just as good now in their little sliver of talent. Oh, she's such a beautiful singer. She sings like a bird. Oh, she's marvelous. And you go, yeah. And I can go four houses down, or 5 or 6, and find another girl who can sing like that too. It's hard to get rich doing something that every 4th or 5th or 6th person can do just as well. And it's only a strike of lightning if you get your day in the sun and all of a sudden you become widely popular doing that. It's kind of a 15-minute of fame thing, and then it's over. And I guess you just kind of go back to where you came from and advertise yourself as somebody who used to be somebody. And everybody goes, ooh, let's have them come and make an appearance at this thing. And they go, oh, no, we don't want you to sing. Don't bother singing. Just show up. And, you know, maybe you can sell records with your top 10 song. But we really don't want to see you again. Your time has come and passed. It's time for somebody else to have their 15 minutes. Some kind of weird, cruel, socialistic fairness to it, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if I really have a whole lot to wad up into a ball and present to you. Except to say, don't become one of those people. Get married. Do what it takes to get married. Be attractive to the point to where you can attract your mate. Make sure there's more about you than just surface attraction, because I tell you, that stuff fades. That stuff fades over time. Lisa Nemro, my wife, I liked her body when we were young. Lisa has been quick to tell me on many occasions she was first very much attracted by my legs. I used to run a lot, and I had runner's legs. And I was quite muscular, and she just loved that. And that was what attracted her initially to me. Now, I don't have those legs. I don't have the time to go out and run. I started having gout problems, so my joints were going bad, and running was just not going to be part of my life. So I don't have my runner's legs anymore. You know, Lisa's grown older. She's had 6 children. They were hard. Lots of them were hard births. and she really doesn't have the figure she once had. And, you know, it says it has to be something beyond that. Hopefully it becomes something that you've grown together and you take care of each other. And when we face sorrows, we all do, we clutch onto each other. The Bible, other scripture too, calls this cleaving. This was a word that was used at the very beginning when it came to Adam and Eve. It says that was what they were supposed to do, is to cleave to one another. And as much as Lisa and I have worked hard to cleave to each other, we've continued to be very happy and to take good care of each other and love each other long past the original attributes of ourselves that may have spurred an infatuation that led to, hey, let's get married. It's good stuff. Yeah, there are other attributes too, but those are the ones we often talk about. And are they physical? Yeah. Anyway, she said she always wanted tall, dark, and handsome that I fit the bill too. She says that was fine, you know. I had the personality of a warm glass of water. And you could say, you can psychoanalyze it all you want to, but, you know, I don't know what Lisa really saw in that. I guess the other thing kind of superseded it and made that work for her. Grateful, I gotta tell you. Anyway, so don't get caught up in the weird social stupidity that's growing more prevalent these days. The world doesn't need any more MGTOW playboy sorts who hang around bars picking up women who have become, I don't know what they've become, sex fiends. Go with God-given impulses to couple. Don't have sex until you decide who you want to be married to. Your marriage should not be based on how fun the sex is. You're not supposed to know that. Sex is supposed to come later and enrich your marriage. Even if it's not that good, you know what? You shouldn't have had sex with other people to make comparisons to. I have absolutely no idea if the sex between my wife and I is comparatively good or wonderful. I'm trying to work hard to make sure that she's happy with what we do. And she puts forth the same effort toward me. I'm not into the whole titles of, are you heterosexual or homosexual? And you go, I am Lisa-sexual. And you go, I don't understand. And you go, I've only had sex with Lisa Jane Tomplay Demro. Who says, and that's the only person I'm going to ever have sex with. You know, barring after her death, remarrying and being physically intimate with somebody else. But it would only be with that person either. I said, so I don't know. I said, it's let me tell you what it's called. It's called loyalty. And that's what God wants to see from us. Not to be spirited away by every sexual impulse that we have. That you're loyal to your spouse, period. And I guess that's, I don't know what to call this ticker recording, but it's time for it to finish. Find your spouse. Don't find them sexually. Find them through other means. Sorry. You know, God doesn't appreciate this other one. I guess you can repent of past sexual exploits, but they're always going to color everything. God doesn't give you commandments just to make you crazy. God gives you commandments to try and help you get through life better. That is the bulk of those commandments. It isn't to narrow your life and take away your fun. It is there to make sure that you live the kind of life so that you can enjoy the life that God has, which is the fullest, most joyous thing that apparently I can't even comprehend. Oh, there it is. So, find somebody to marry. Commit yourself to them totally. Only put God before them. Have children. Don't let the foolishness of the age detract you from having children. Because still children are a joy, and children are what really bring meaning. And I don't mean children being children. I mean children growing up and becoming adults and becoming fully realized adults that make you go, wow, I was a part of helping that to happen. My son and my daughter, who went on and had and got married and had children. And they did the same thing, and this whole thing loops around and around, and we can all look at each other and say, wow, wasn't that amazing? Yeah, was it hard? Yes. Having to do all that needed to be done. Every age has its bizarre circumstances. This one, I don't know if it's any better or worse. God sometimes says that this is going to be either the best or the worst time. And it's like, well, okay, whatever. But I think I'm going to leave you with that. I've given enough advice. I've given enough ideas about what I think about this and that. Whatever. I leave you with the blessing of my fathers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance towards you and give you peace.